प्रभुजी, हरे कृष्ण, माता जी कैन टेक ओवर।
Hare Krishna devotees. His Grace Gauranga Darshan Das is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. He's the Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitha Research Center at the Govardhan Eco Village. He is a member of the ISKCON Board of Examinations, and he holds a master's degree from the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. He teaches Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Vaishnava character courses at the Govardhan Eco Village and at several places in India. Gauranga Darshan Das has written several books, including Gita Subodhini, Bhagavata Subodhini, Chaitanya Subodhini, Disapproved But Not Disowned, Bhagavata Pravaha, and Gita, the Jewel Box. He has special fondness for reciting and meditating on scriptural verses, and has compiled shloka books, namely Gita Ratnamala, Bhagavata Ratnamala, Chaitanya Ratnamala, and Bhagavata Tattvamala. He also runs a free monthly e-magazine called Bhagavata Pradipika, and regularly writes educational and devotional articles that also appear in Back to Godhead Magazine International and multiple Indian language editions. He is known for his lucid spiritual talks with captivating visuals and also presentations that give a bird's eye view of an entire book or section. So far, he has delivered over 4,500 hours of spiritual discourses. He has guided several students in their Shastric study. He also oversees the deity worship at Govardhan Eco Village. So Hare Krishna, welcome to the call, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time in this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for having me again in this Bhagavatam Sangha, where devotees discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam. And today, the shloka is 4th canto, 31st chapter, 17th shloka. So this shloka appears in a conversation between Narada Muni and Prachetas. The Prachetas are the 10 sons of Prachinabarhi. And Prachinabarhi was absorbed in so many karmakandic sacrifices. And the Prachetas, who were the 10 princes, they were asked by Prachinabarhi to go to the forest and perform some austerities for their purification before they take up more serious responsibilities in grihastha life and as kings. So before entering the household life and before taking up the responsibilities of being rulers, being kings, so one should sufficiently purify oneself from all the possible or potential distractions that might come on our path, on our progressive path. So now all these great princes are sent to forest to perform some austerities for their purification. And these austerities, austerity basically is voluntarily accepting some inconvenience for a higher purpose. That's the meaning of austerity. So now all these people, these Prachetas, went to the forest to perform some austerities, and these austerities are devotional austerities. They are performing worship of Lord Vasudeva. And like when a prince or when a human being is fasting from certain facilities and doing some accepting some voluntary inconvenience upon oneself, that purifies a person. Because, for example, a prince is there in a kingdom, in a royal palace. He's surrounded by so many servants and assistants and so many soldiers and ministers and so many people who just assist a prince. So when they get accustomed to all these royal facilities and opulences, without having an experience of what is difficulty, what is misery, they won't be able to empathize with their citizens. When a citizen comes with certain material difficulty in front of the king should be able to understand what exactly that citizen is speaking. So for that, this is like one of the reasons. So basically, when these princes go to the forest to perform some austerities, they stay away from all these royal comforts, servants, treasure house, soldiers, and other people. And they live their lives with very meager facilities. And they try to control their senses. They try to control their mind. By such sense control and mind control, these people will become very strong physically and mentally. So with that background of several years of austerities, when they accept household life, when they accept the positions of kings and rulers, they can do well in their job as rulers, as householders. Secondly, when a prince takes up the responsibilities of a kingdom and rules the kingdom for a while, for several years, maybe several decades, and in those years, in the previous ages, several centuries he may rule. But one cannot rule throughout one's life. One has to retire from that position of being a king at one point. So for that, one should practice a life of detachment. Now, all these great Rajarshis, they perform their austerities in the beginning of their lives as a part of their Brahmachari phase of their life. And after a while, after ruling the kingdom for a while, they will again retire. When there is an able successor who can take up the responsibilities of the kingdom, these great Rajarshis, saintly kings, these people who have ruled with responsibility, they will retire with renunciation. So they will go back to forest life and they will dedicate the rest of their lives completely to the service of the Supreme Lord. Like that. So this initial few years of a prince spent in doing austerities is very foundational for his whole household life and kingly life and ultimately renounced life. So with that purpose in mind, Prachinapur, he had sent all these 10 Prachetas to the forest to perform some austerities. And Lord Shiva came and guided them in their austerities, and he taught them Rudra Gita. And in this Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his form, his name, and the whole process of Bhakti Yoga and the Lord's relationship with this whole cosmos. So, and after teaching this Rudra Gita voluntarily to these Prachetas, Shiva left. And these Prachetas went under waters for 10,000 years. And then they attained the darshan of the Supreme Lord, who came under waters on the back of Garuda. So the Lord was flying on the back of Garuda, and Garuda entered the waters. And under the waters, you find the Lord giving darshan to these Prachetas. So Lord can enter anywhere. So now Prachetas took this darshan, and after that the Lord instructed them to go and rule the kingdom, marry Marisha, and also they were bestowed a long life with full sensory strength, and all these Prachetas ruled for a long time, and they had a son named Daksha. And after that, at one point, they decided to retire from their active life as kings. So these 10 Prachetas left the kingdom and they came to perform austerities again. So their life began with austerities in forest, and They ruled the kingdom with responsibility. Again, they accepted the life of austerity to perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, the human life is meant to perform, render devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. That's the purpose of human life. So initial training is required to fulfill this purpose. And throughout this tenure, during which a king is ruling the kingdom, he does that responsibility with full devotional consciousness, because he had a training in the background. And when the right time comes, when there is an able successor, they retire from this external or material responsibilities, trivial responsibilities, and they take shelter of the Supreme Lord exclusively. So this is the ideal life of Prachetas. So Prachetas retired from their kingly responsibilities and they went to the forest, and now they were associating with a great sage named Jhazili. Now these Prachetas had a great opportunity to associate with the best of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, right? And after associating with him, learning Rudra Gita from him, they performed austerities underwater for 10,000 years chanting Rudra Gita, and they got the association of the Supreme Lord directly, Lord Narayana. And after ruling the kingdom for some time, they retired and they are associating with a sage named Jhazili, who may not be as popular as Lord Shiva, who is not as popular as Lord Vishnu. So these Prachetas, who had the background of associating with Shiva and Vishnu, now they are associating with another sage named Jhazili. Ultimately, it's not about the popularity of the person whom we are associating with. In the association of this devotee, this person, am I being Krishna conscious or not? So these people, Prachetas, were associating with Jhazili, and then they are continuing to perform the devotional service. And now they got another opportunity to associate with another great devotee named Narada Muni. And this Narada Muni started enlightening these Prachetas. Actually, when they saw Narada Muni, Prachetas said that, "Oh Lord, oh Narada Muni, we are such a great devotee, or pure devotee. We were enlightened by Lord Shiva personally, and under his guidance we have chanted Rudra Gita and attained the darshan of the Lord. And the Supreme Lord also gave us a lot of blessings and darshan and teachings. But somehow, because of our long association with certain material responsibilities and political responsibilities, we have forgotten, we have lost touch with the devotional service. Now, we request you, Narada Muni, somehow you have come in front of us. We request you to enlighten us again in this path of bhakti yoga, so that by your shelter, by your inspiration, we again take to the process of devotional service." Actually, they said this out of humility. Not that they were deviated from the devotional path, but out of humility they just said that, "Oh, we forgot the teachings that we received before. So please enlighten us again." So in this way, the Prachetas requested Narada Muni. So that is the context or background for this shloka. Now let's enter this shloka. So 4th canto, 31st shloka, chapter, 17th shloka, right? 17th shloka. So we'll recite the shloka, we'll read the purport, and we'll discuss.
Yathana bhasyarbha abhratamah prakasha bhavanti bhupana bhavantya nukramat evam pare brahmani shaktayastvamu rajastamah sattvamiti pravah.
So translation. He says, Narada Muni says, "My dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds, sometimes there is darkness, and sometimes there is illumination. So you can see clouds during the monsoon vividly, and even other times also you see some clouds, and there is darkness during the night, and there is illumination during the daytime. So the appearance of all this takes place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear, sometimes they disappear." Now, Prabhupada writes in the purport, "Darkness, illumination and clouds sometimes appear and sometimes disappear. But even when they have disappeared, the potency is still there, always existing. In the sky, sometimes we see clouds, sometimes rainfall and sometimes snow.
Sometimes we see night, sometimes day, sometimes illumination, sometimes darkness. And all these exist due to the sun, but the sun is unaffected by all these changes. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of the total cosmic manifestation, He is unaffected by the material existence. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapo
Ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtada.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Although the material or physical elements are the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are separate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore not affected by material conditions. The Vedanta Sutra confirms janmadyasyataha. The creation, the maintenance and dissolution of this cosmic manifestation are due to the existence of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. This is indicated by the word pravaha, emanation. The sun always shines brilliantly and is not affected by clouds or darkness. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always present in His spiritual energy and is not affected by the material emanations. Brahma Samhita says, Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadirajir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin. And He is the prime cause of all causes. Although He is the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, He is still Parama, transcendental. And His form is Satchidananda. Eternal spiritual bliss. Krishna is the shelter of everything, and this is the verdict of all scripture. Krishna is the remote cause, and material cause is the immediate cause of cosmic manifestation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that understanding Prakriti or nature to be the cause of everything is like understanding the nipples on the neck of a goat to be the cause of milk. Material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but the original cause is Narayana, Krishna. Sometimes people think that the cause of an earthen pot is the earth. We see on a potter's wheel a sufficient amount of earth to produce many pots. And although an intelligent man will say that the earth on the wheel is the cause of the pot, those who are actually advanced will find the original cause is the potter who supplies the earth and moves the wheel. Material nature may be a helping factor in creation of this cosmic manifestation, but it is not the ultimate cause. So, can you scroll it faster? The material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and producing all moving and non-moving beings. The Supreme Lord casts His glance over material energy, and His glance agitates the three modes of nature. Creation then takes place. The conclusion is that nature is not the cause of the material manifestation. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. So essentially in this purport, which is very long purport, Prabhupada is making these points. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, and the material nature may apparently look like the cause of some manifestation. However, that material nature is only an intermediate cause or immediate cause, not the ultimate cause. Krishna is the ultimate cause. And if you see the original shloka, what did Narada Muni say? He said that just like in sky, sometimes you see darkness, sometimes you see illumination, sometimes you see clouds, and sometimes you don't see these things. Similarly, the Supreme Lord may manifest certain energies, and He may not manifest certain energies. But whether He is manifesting the energies or withdrawing the energies, the energetic person is always existing. Now that there is cloud or illumination or darkness in the sky, but all these things do not affect the sun. Sun is intact. Clouds do not affect Him. Our vision is affected. Now the sun is there. If the sun is on the other side of the globe, we see darkness, we see night. Okay, for us, it is night in India. But many people who are on the other side of the globe, it's your morning there. So now it doesn't affect the sun. Sun is there. He has his own daily routine of going around and giving illumination. So now sun is existing always. Depending on where we stand, we sometimes perceive light, sometimes perceive darkness. Similarly, and we also perceive clouds. Clouds are also formed by sun only. Sun evaporates water from water bodies on this earthly planet, and thus the clouds are formed in the sky. And during the monsoon, all this water is given back to the earth again. So like that, we may see darkness, we may see illumination, we may see clouds, which are all can be called as energies of Lord Sun. But all these things don't affect the sun. Similarly, the Supreme Lord may create the material universe. He may maintain the material universe, and he may destroy the material universe. But beyond this creation, maintenance, and destruction, the Lord always eternally exists. So the shloka says, Ahameva sami vagre nanyat yat sadasatvaram paschadaham yadetaccha yovasishyeta sosmyaham. Aham evasam evagre. Even before the creation of this world, I existed. In the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord speaks directly to Lord Brahman in this way. I existed before the creation, and I am only existing throughout the maintenance period. And paschadaham yadetaccha yovasishyeta sosmyaham. After the destruction of this material universe, whatever remains is me only. So the Lord's existence, or Lord's operations, Lord's activities, Lord's functionality are beyond the existence of this material universe, beyond the manifestation or non-manifestation of this material universe. Right? So but the jivas are affected by it. When the material universe exists, all the materialistic conditioned souls appear within certain material bodies within the universe. When the material universe is wound up back into Mahavishnu's body, then these jiva souls, conditioned souls who are living in that universe, they go into sleep mode or hibernate mode. They merge into Mahavishnu's body. But the Lord is always active. So energies may sometimes manifest and sometimes don't manifest. But the energetic person always exists. Right? So sometimes, even a person, now I'm speaking. After 1 hour, I may not speak. But as a person, I am existing. But sometimes I may speak, sometimes I may not speak. The sun is there. Sometimes he is visible, sometimes he is invisible. So this is all according to the perspective of a person who is seeing them. This is from observer's perspective. Okay. But the original personality who may be manifesting or not manifesting his energies is always existing. Right. But the observer is sometimes seeing him active, sometimes seeing him inactive. Simple example. Again, let's come to the sun example only. For example, if I stand in front of the sun and I can see the sun very beautifully shining in the sky, and I cannot see my shadow. Why? Because when I am facing the sun, my shadow is behind me. So when I face the sun, I can't see my shadow. But when I turn my face away from the sun, I can see my shadow. Right? So consider the shadow or the darkness that is created behind me because I block the sun's illumination. Okay? This shadow is an energy of sun. Okay? But the shadow or darkness created behind me, I need not see that when I see the sun god. But when I turn my face away from sun, then I see the darkness. I see that shadow. Right? Similarly, when the living entity renders service to Krishna with devotion, with love, with affection, faces towards Krishna, then he need not see Maya. But when the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, the living entity suffers because of Maya. So Maya doesn't exist for a devotee who serves Krishna. Maya exists for a conditioned soul who turns his face away from Krishna. So sun exists, shadow exists because of sun. But that shadow's existence is dependent on this person coming and standing between the sun and the shadow, right? But if the person is not there, there is no shadow there, right? So it's totally from the observer's perspective. I hope it's not getting too technical, right? It's a simple example. When we take shelter of Krishna, then we need not experience the miseries caused by Maya. But when we don't take shelter of Krishna, we will be exposed to unlimited material miseries, which are categorized into three sections: Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, and Adhidevika Klishas, all caused by Maya, or the three material modes that influence us, as the shloka says, material modes. So now, for us to come out of the influence of material modes, we have to take shelter of Krishna. When we take shelter of Krishna, Maya doesn't exist for that soul. Just like when a man turns his face towards the sun god, he doesn't see darkness. He doesn't have to see darkness. Darkness exists only when we turn our face away from the sun god. So we need to, now the whole process of bhakti yoga is helping us to reconnect with Krishna. Now you see, there's a beautiful shloka in the first canto, 11th chapter. It says, Natasmate natha sadanghari pankajam virincha vairincha surendra vanditam parayanam kshema mihechhatam param nayatra kalaha prabhavet para prabho. Natasmate natha sadanghari pankajam. O Lord, we offer obeisances unto your divine lotus feet always. Sada anghari pankajam virinchi vairinchi surendra vanditam. And these lotus feet of yours are worshipped by Virinchi, Brahma. Vairinchi means sons of Brahma. Surendra means the king of demigods. Vanditam, they all offer obeisances to this lotus feet. They all worship this lotus feet. Parayanam kshema vihechhatam param. Whoever desires one's own welfare in one's life, they must take shelter of this lotus feet only. Why? Simple reason. Na yatra kalaha prabhavet parah prabho. Because the Supreme Lord Krishna is never affected by kala or time factor. We are all influenced by time. We are all influenced by modes. We are all influenced by maya. For us to come out of the influence of these material modes, gunas or prakriti or maya or karma or kala, we have to take shelter of Krishna, who is never influenced by all these things. Prabhupada very brilliantly quotes so many shlokas. Daivi hesha gudabayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So it's extremely difficult to surpass the influence of this material modes or maya. Mama maya duratyaya. It's very difficult to surpass this. But one who takes shelter of Krishna can easily surpass. Mamevaya prapadyante mayametam karintite. If you take my shelter, you can easily cross over this maya. And that maya is also Krishna's energy. Krishna says, mama maya duratyaya. Right? Devi. Devi means it's also divine nature. This divine nature of mine, why is it divine? Maya is external energy. Maya is material energy. Maya causes a lot of problems to the souls. Maya entangles the living entities in so many material miseries, a big network of circuit of network of ocean of material miseries. Why is it Daivi? Daivi means divine. So Maya is divine because Maya works under the will of Krishna. It's divine because Maya is acting according to the desire of Krishna. What was the desire of Krishna? Desire of Krishna is to purify the conditioned souls, give them an impetus or inspiration to come back to the spiritual realm, considering that this material world is too dangerous, right? So entire creation exists only to give another opportunity to the conditioned soul to come back to Krishna's shelter. This is only Krishna's way to reclaim the conditioned souls by creating this material world. So we have so many examples to elaborate on this point, but I'll move ahead. So Krishna very clearly says that this Maya is also Daivi. Maya is also divine. Now, to come out of the shelter of, to come out of the influence of this material Maya, which is also divine energy of the Lord, which acts under the influence, under the will of the Lord. Krishna says, Maya dhyakshena prakriti hesuyate sacharacharam. So only under my adhyaksha, only under my superintendence, this Maya is functioning. Okay. Now, to come out of this influence of this divine energy of the Lord that entangles us, we have to take shelter of another divine energy of Krishna that gives us shelter. One divine energy acts under the will of Krishna and entangles and troubles the living entities. Another divine energy gives shelter to the conditioned souls and brings them closer to Krishna. What is the divine energy? Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says that Mahatmanastu mam partha, Mahatmanastu mam partha, Daivim prakritim ashritah, Bhajanti ananya manaso gnatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha, all these great Mahatmas are great souls, take my shelter, right? Mam partha. And in what way? Daivim prakritim ashritah. They take shelter of another divine energy of mine. Okay? There also he said in the 7th chapter, Devi Hiyasha Vanamayi Mama Maya. Maya is also Devi. And this Prakriti, Srimati Radharani, is also the divine potency of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? And this Srimati Radharani, this Devi Prakriti, gives shelter to Mahatmas. And that Maya, which is also Devi, entangles conditioned souls. So these are the two energies of the Lord. Both are energies of Krishna only, but they function in different ways. So when we see the sun, we don't have to see the shadow. When we turn our face away from the sun, we see the shadow. Similarly, when we take shelter of Krishna, we don't have to get affected by Maya. But when we don't take shelter of Krishna, when we turn our faces away from Krishna, then we have to see Maya, we have to get affected by Maya. Now in the 7th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva writes Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami describes how Vyasadeva has compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva started meditating. So Narada Muni came and enlightened Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva started meditating. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatatapashrayam. Very nice shloka that describes the meditation of Vyasadeva. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite amale. So this Vyasadeva started meditating on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Bhakti yoga, in a mode of devotional service, his mind was totally fixed in devotion unto Krishna. Bhakti yogena manase samyak means completely fixed up in Krishna. Pranihite amale apashyat purusham purnam. In that devotional meditation, what did Vyasadeva see? Purusham purnam. What is this purusham purnam? Purusha is the supreme male, the supreme person. Purna means one who is complete. So he has seen the complete personality of Godhead. And who is that? Krishna. Krishna is complete. Purusham Purnam. Now we see the moon. Earlier we discussed the example of sun. Okay, to understand Maya and Maya's influence and all that. Now let's take the example of moon. Actually, all these analogies and examples, na, they help us understand the subject matter and philosophy very easily. Now, why this word Purusham Purnam is coming? Take this word Purna, Purna. Now you know the word Purnami. Purnami is that tithi that comes in a month where moon is very brilliantly illuminating completely. You can see full moon, full circle of moon you can see. That is on Purnami day. Now you see this circle is there behind me. That is full, complete. That is called Purnam. Apashyat Purusham Purnam. So Purna is complete. On Purnami day, we see moon as a complete circle. But on, say, Dvadashi day, Ekadashi day, Saptami day, Panchami day, or Dashami day, Navami day, Ashtami day, all these other days, we can't see moon completely. We can only see the moon partially. We see 50%, 60%, 70%, 20%, 30% like that. So when we say Purana Purusha, Apashyat Purusham Purnam, that Purana Purusha refers to Krishna. Krishna is Purana Purushottama, his complete personality of Godhead. And all other incarnations of Krishna or expansions of Krishna, they only partially manifest these qualities. That's why they are not Purna Purushas. Krishna is Purna Purusha. Just like the moon god on Purnima day is Purna, complete. On other days, he is not complete. So they are also moons only. Okay? On Saptami day also, what we are seeing is moon only, but he is not completely manifesting. But similarly, the Supreme Lord, when he appears as Kurma, Varaha, Rama, Narasimha, and all these other incarnations, he may not exhibit his complete potency. He may not exhibit all the rasas as Krishna does with Vrajavasis completely, because Krishna is complete personality. So Vyasadeva has seen Krishna in his meditation. Apashyat Purusham Purnam. Not only he has seen Krishna. Mayam cha tadapashrayam. So this Vyasadeva has also seen Maya in his meditation. Why he has to see Maya? So now we understand that the Lord has to be seen, because Vyasadeva is about to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, which is nothing but Krishna's pastimes. And we also see that Vyasadeva is envisioning Maya, tadapashrayam, behind, completely under the control of Krishna, like a shadow behind the Lord. Okay, so he has seen Maya also. And the next shloka, yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartham tatkritam chabhipatyate. The next shloka says, so in first shloka he has seen Krishna and Maya. In the next shloka he has seen jiva suffering because of Maya. And in the third shloka he has seen the solution to this suffering. What is that? It is bhakti. So bhakti yoga is the solution to all sufferings, right? So bhakti yoga is performed by a devotee, and one who sincerely performs this bhakti yoga is completely relieved from all material miseries. Okay, please get the charger. It's getting exhausted. Sorry. So now bhakti yoga is the solution to all the material miseries. So that also he has observed. So now Vyasadeva has seen the Supreme Lord and the Jiva and Maya, and because of Maya's, Jiva is suffering, and Bhakti Yoga is the solution so that the Jiva can connect to the Supreme Lord. Okay, so that's why he has compiled Srimad Bhagavatam to explain this Bhakti Yoga to common people. So that's the purpose of compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chakre Satvata Samhitam. And what is the glory, or what is the result or benefit of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yasyam vaisruya manayam krishne paramapurushi bhakti rutpadyate pumsaha shoka moha bhayapaha. Yasyam vaisruya manayam. If you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens is that a feeling of love or devotion unto the Supreme Lord Krishna appears. Right? So, bhakti rutpadyate pumsaha, bhakti. So, bhakti means devotion, feeling of devotion. Actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it is prema utpadyate pumsaha. Prema means love. Here, the word bhakti indicates love for Krishna. Then, when we develop that love for Krishna based on our study of Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens is, shoka moha bhaya apaha. Shoka, our lamentation is gone. Moha, our illusion is gone. Bhaya, our fear is gone. Right? So that's the result of hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we'll see the purport once again. Can someone show? So basically in this purport, here Prabhupada is very beautifully describing the reason for the entanglement of living entity. And he's also saying that this Prakriti manifests and goes into unmanifest state. But the Lord always exists. Okay. So, yeah, please. You can stop here. Here you see, similarly, although the personality of Godhead is the original cause, he is unaffected by the material existence. Now, we have discussed with several examples and other quoting other shlokas that these energies, as a material energy specifically, the Maya, that Maya affects the conditioned soul by manifesting certain miseries, certain intensity. But that Maya doesn't affect the Supreme Lord. As we said, this darkness or illumination or clouds do not affect the sun. They affect the observer, right? So now, there is another shloka. Etadishana meshasya prakritisthopitat gunaihi na yujyate sadatmasthir yatha buddhihi tadashriya. This is the divinity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Etadishana meshasya prakritisthopitat gunaihi. Although the Lord is in contact with the material nature, although the Supreme Lord is doing the creation of this material world, maintenance of this material world, and the destruction of this material world, all these are his dealings with matter, but he is unaffected by matter. Similarly, yatha buddhihi tad ashrayah, one who takes the shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna also will be unaffected by one's dealings with matter. So he is unaffected, because just like the Lord is unaffected, this devotee is also unaffected. Although he stays in the midst of this material world. For example, say coronavirus is there. Somebody who is wearing a mask and protecting himself, wearing some kind of, they put that plastic in front of them, right? Facial, something like that they call. And sanitizer. So when somebody is taking good precautions, they may wear a jacket. For example, a doctor is treating a patient. A dentist is taking care of a patient, maybe doing some tooth extraction. Now he has to deal with the patient. He is directly there. The patient is opening his mouth and then sitting in front of him. And the dentist wears a big jacket. He has his mask and he has his gloves and he has his sanitizer and he also sanitizes the patient and he also covers the patient with all this apron and all that. So with all these precautions, if the doctor treats the patient, the doctor will not be affected by the virus. Similarly, when a living entity takes a shelter of bhakti yoga, even though the devotee is dealing with matter, on a regular basis, he is unaffected by matter. Just like the Supreme Lord is unaffected by the changes that are presented by this material energy. So material energy is constantly undergoing some changes. Those changes do not affect the Lord, but they affect the conditioned living entity. But if that conditioned living entity takes shelter of Krishna and becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, these changes in the material circumstances or material world will not affect the devotee also, like that. So ultimately the solution is Bhakti Yoga. That's what Narad Muni very beautifully highlights in his teachings to Prachetas in this full chapter, actually, several places. Now, a devotee is unaffected by his dealings with matter by dint of his absorption in Krishna. So, for a conditioned soul, an ordinary soul, this material world is filled with lot of miseries. But for a devotee, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidhimahendra Adishcha Kitayate. So, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, this entire Vishvam, this universe is filled with bliss, with happiness. There is no possibility of a devotee getting entangled in Maya to the degree that devotee takes shelter of Krishna. So there is functioning of the material energy, there is entanglement of the conditioned soul, there is transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All three are very beautifully described in this purport and in the whole Bhagavatam in general. So all these things are emanated from the Lord. See, here in this purport you see this line: the Lord is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. So all these material elements are there, five gross elements and three subtle elements. So the functionings of this will not affect a great devotee. Now you see, Now, how does a person become a great devotee and becomes aloof from this material changes? By sadhana. Now, one has to practice to tolerate these changes in the beginning. Then, eventually, gradually, one will naturally be unaffected by these changes. Now, a very exalted devotee effortlessly becomes oblivious to material dualities. But a sadhaka has to practice it. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshyastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkhada agamapayino nityah tamstiti kshasva bharata matra sparshyastu kaunteya sita ushna sukha dukkhada means all the sita and ushna means heat and cold, sukha and dukkha means happiness and distress, they are products of sense perception. Matra sparshyastu kaunteya means when the senses are trying to contact the sense objects, then that sensual contacts and perceptions will create these dualities of happiness, distress, heat and cold, success, defeat, victory, defeat, success, failure, happiness, distress, all these things. But one has to learn to tolerate them. So first, intellectually, one has to understand that they are agama, apayino, anitya. They come, they go, they are temporary in nature. These material dualities have no permanent effect. So one has to learn to tolerate them. Right? Agama apayino nityaha tam stitikshasva bharata. One has to tolerate them. Now, one who is able to tolerate while practicing sadhana bhakti, he definitely encounters these dualities. One who manages to tolerate them, such a person can be eligible for liberation. In the next shloka only, our Lord Krishna says, in the second chapter, 15th shloka, he says, Yam hi navyatha yankyete purusham purusharshabha sama dukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpati Yam hi navyatha yankyete purusham purusharshabha Samadukha sukham dhira means a person who has learned, yeah, this is the shloka, a person who has learned to be equipoised in the midst of happiness and distress, so amritatvaya kalpate, such a person is eligible for liberation. Okay. Now, happiness and distress is very difficult, it's very overwhelming to tolerate them. When we say Sita and Ushna means heat and cold. See, if it's very hot here, we may switch on the fan, we may switch on the AC, or we may take some hand fan and then keep doing this, fanning ourselves. So we have a way to come out of this material dualities of heat and cold. If it's very cold, we may wear a sweater, we may wear a shawl, we may have this muffler, we have this cap, socks and gloves and all that we do, we use. So we make all kinds of arrangements to protect us or to remain transcendental to heat and cold by doing some adjustments in our way of dressing or way of conducting ourselves in an external plane. But it's quite overwhelming. So this heat and cold are experienced by the body, gross body. But happiness and distress are experienced by the subtle body, the mind. Right? So they are on a mental level. So how much arrangement or preparation that we do to tolerate this happiness and distress? Tolerating heat and cold, we are making a lot of arrangements. But how many arrangements are we making to tolerate happiness and distress? So we need to tolerate happiness and distress also. So with a basic fundamental understanding that whether it is happiness or distress, it is material, it is temporary. It is material and it is temporary, two things. So they are material. Anything material cannot have a permanent effect on the spirit soul. Okay, it may have a temporary effect on the temporary material body. It cannot have a eternal effect on the permanent effect on the eternal spirit soul. So we are not temporary material bodies, we are eternal spiritual souls. So we need to try to come to that level by regular practice in the association of devotees. So bhakti gives us the necessary ability to tolerate all these external dualities. Bhagavatam says, dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam. I don't need this display. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayo anmulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamanikrite Kimva Parairishvaraha Sadyo Hrudi Avarudhyati Trakruti Visustroshubhistakshanat. So, I will not explain the whole sloka, but here the point is Tapatrayon Mulanam. If you take shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam, we can be relieved from the threefold material miseries. How can a book solve my threefold material miseries? I think so. If I read Srimad Bhagavatam, if I hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if I study Srimad Bhagavatam, all my financial problems are solved. Or all my other material miseries, will I not feel heat or cold? Will my neighbors not trouble me? Will mosquitoes not bite me? Will corona not affect me? So I need not think in those lines. Actually, when it says that Tapatrayon Mulanam, Bhagavatam does Tapatrayon Mulanam, Bhagavatam basically gives us the necessary maturity to deal with these tapatrayas in a proper devotional manner. So Bhagavatam equips our consciousness with the necessary maturity to see the mercy, to see the misery as mercy of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? So when a devotee experiences some heat or cold or some other happiness or distress or some other difficulties in life, devotee understands that it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna who has arranged all these difficulties in my life. How can you say that Krishna has given these difficulties? Yeah, he has given for my purification. Okay, Krishna is the cause of all causes, because Prabhupada said quite a few times in this purport, and he also quoted Ishwara Paramaha Krishna. Krishna is Sarvakarana Karanam. Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So Krishna himself says in the 10th canto, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 4th and 5th shlokas, Krishna says, Buddhir Jnanam Asammoha, in that series, Sukham Dukham Bhayam Abhayam. All these are also caused by Krishna. Bhayam cha Bhayam eva cha. So Krishna is the cause of Sukham. Krishna is the cause of Dukkham also. Krishna is the origin of Bhayam. Krishna is the cause of Abhayam also. So like that, Krishna is the origin of all positive and negative qualities also. But he uses them properly according to the people whom he is dealing with. Right? He uses them accordingly. So whom to give Sukham, whom to give Dukkham? Whom to give Abhayam, whom to give Bhayam? Bhayam Dutiyesha. Now for example, Krishna caused Abhayam to all Vrajavasis by protecting them from all calamities. Krishna caused Bhayam to Kamsa. Right? For Kamsa, Krishna comes in the form of Bhayam. For Vrajavasis, he is Abhayam. Right? So now he is the cause of both. Right? So Krishna actually deals with different people according to their moods, their needs, their deeds. Okay? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita again, he says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. Ye yathamam prapadyante. The way you approach me, in a similar manner, I reciprocate with you. Tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. I will also reciprocate with you accordingly. Now, a devotee approaches Krishna by saying, Govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajami. I offer my obeisances unto you. Bhajami, tam aham bhajami. I worship you. Okay. I approach you in this way. Krishna is also saying, tam stataiva bhajami aham. So bhajami aham word is used by devotee also, Krishna also. Krishna is saying, tam stataiva bhajami aham. And devotee is saying, tam aham bhajami, Govinda Madhi Purusham. Like that. So Krishna reciprocates with the mentality and the mood and the need and the deed of his devotees. rather than giving, rather than just treating everybody in a similar manner. That yes, he is samoham sarva bhuteshu, no doubt about it. But ye bhajintati mam bhaktya mahiti teshu chapyaham. So one who approaches Krishna with devotion, Krishna is there in him, he is there in Krishna. And they know each other, they don't know anyone else, that's his great friend. Sadhavo hradayam mahyam sadhonam hradayam tuham. So Krishna reciprocates with people according to their moods. So in the case of a materialistic person, Krishna just behaves like a neutral witness of their activities and a neutral sanctioner of their desires through prakriti. So Krishna acts just like a super soul, but for a devotee, Krishna does more. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantate. He gives the necessary intelligence to the devotees to come back to him. So that's how Krishna reciprocates with all his devotees. So Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of all the transformations in this material world also through material energy. Material energy is also Krishna. And what does material energy do? This Daivi Hiyasha Gunamayi Mama Maya, this Maya energy of Krishna is Gunamayi, it constitutes of three modes and it entangles the living entities to test their surrender. So, but there is Daivi Prakriti, Srimati Radharani. So if you take shelter of Srimati Radharani, who is Daivi Prakriti of Krishna, Krishna will take us back to Godhead. Right? Such a person who takes shelter of Radharani is a Mahatma, but such a person who is entangled by Maya, because of misuse of one's own minute independence, is Duratma. Like that. So both are energies of Krishna. Both are acting under the will of Krishna. But according to the person's mood, need and deed, Krishna's energies only act in different ways. Means Krishna is only acting in their cases in different ways. Simple. So Prabhupada writes in this another purport, in Vidura's episode. So Vidura gave a good advice to Dhritarashtra. What was the good advice? He said, this Duryodhana will completely destroy the fame of your dynasty. Check him out. Apatyamatya. You are considering him as your son who can protect you in all ways, but he will only defame you because sa esha dosha purushadvidaste. Purushadvid. He is the He hates the Supreme Lord. He tried to arrest Krishna. Krishna came with a peace message and Krishna tried to give good advice to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana is trying to arrest Krishna. So Vidura said, just check him out. And Duryodhana came there. He was hissing like a snake. Pravruddha kopa spuritar spuritarunadharam. So he has become so angry and his lips were quivering. And he said, who asked the son of his this kept mistress to come here and advise us against our own interests in favor of our enemies? As a remuneration for his lifelong service to the throne of Hastinapur, we just leave breath in his nostrils, but he cannot stay in Hastinapur anymore. Get out of this kingdom. Like that, Duryodhana checked out his own uncle Vidura, who has dedicated his whole life till then for the throne of Hastinapur. In that context, Prabhupada writes, for Vidura, the spiritual energy of Krishna is working. Maybe Daivi Prakriti. So the spiritual energy of Krishna is working, giving him an opportunity to come out of this material responsibilities and political responsibilities and take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna through pilgrimage, through visiting so many holy places and eventually meeting Uddhava and getting enlightened in all pastimes of Krishna. And later meeting Maitreya and hearing two full cantos, third and fourth cantos of Bhagavatam from Maitreya. So in this way, we see that the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord favored Vidura in this way. But the material energy of the Supreme Lord acted in the case of Duryodhana and did not allow him to take the good advice of Vidura. So now, same incident that had different effects on Duryodhana and Vidura. For Duryodhana, the Lord's energy is material energy. Material energy of the Lord is working on him. But in the case of Vidura, the spiritual energy is working on him. Okay. So it all depends on our own disposition. how the Lord reciprocates with us, how the energies of the Lord deal with us. It all depends on how we utilize our minute independence that is given by God to us. So, sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanya dupara mamba vindeta bhuyastata eva dukham yadatra yuktam bhagavan madinaha. So we try to attain sukha, but we don't get sukha, we only get dukha. But still we don't stop our endeavors to attain sukha. This is what Vidura asks Maitreya. So the materialistic conditioned soul is not realizing, although I am endeavoring a lot to attain material happiness, I am failing several times in this attempt and I am only getting distress. So I should just develop some common sense and surrender unto Krishna. Then Krishna will protect me. So one should come to this understanding. So the energies of the Supreme Lord continue to manifest and sometimes unmanifest. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. The material energy or the material universe sometimes manifests, sometimes doesn't manifest. It is sometimes there, merged within the body of Mahavishnu. Sometimes it comes out when he breathes out. And as within the universe also, all the planetary systems and other details in the universe, they exist during the day of Brahma and they go into unmanifest state during the night of Brahma. And again they come out. So sometimes they manifest, sometimes they don't manifest. But the Lord continuously exists beyond these states of manifestation and unmanifestation. He is the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of all causes. He is the cause of the universe. He is the cause of everything that happens in the lives of every child of God. So whether it is materialistic person or spiritualist. So the Lord, is Lord's influence is there. Even if the living entity commits its abominable and sinful activities and becomes a dog or a cat or a worm or an insect or a mosquito or a worm in stool, also the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna accompanies that living entity as Paramatma within his heart, super soul, and directs his wanderings. Like that. Reciprocating with their moods, their needs, their deeds, their desires, like that. So, but if we take shelter of Krishna, he will come to protect us. So he will come on the back of his Garuda carrier, the bird carrier of Krishna, and comes and lifts us from this material ocean. There is a beautiful shloka, the Mukundamana Stotra. Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani, trailokya raksha mani. Gopi lochana chatakambudamani saundarya mudramani yah kantamani rukmini ghanakucha dandvaika bhoshamani shreyo devasikhamani dishatudho gopala chudamani bhakta paya bhujanga garudamani. When the devotees are drowning in this ocean of material existence, that Supreme Lord, Krishna, comes on the back of Garuda. Bhakta paya bhujanga garuda mani. He appears like a very beautiful, shining blue gem, sapphire, on the back of this golden mountain-like Garuda. And he comes and lifts this conditioned souls from this material ocean. Trailokya raksha mani. He protects all his devotees wherever they are, wherever, whichever planet they may be in. In all the three worlds, Krishna has his devotees. When they are undergoing certain material miseries, Krishna will come and protect them. If only we take his shelter. He protected Gajendra, who was in great difficulty because of this crocodile. So we should not feel shy to take shelter of Krishna, because many times we may be criticized by other people. When we are taking shelter of Krishna, we are trying to serve Krishna, we are trying to chant Hare Krishna and all that. So, but we should consistently attempt to take shelter of Krishna despite all kinds of criticisms or obstacles, just like Prahlad Maharaj is doing. Prahlad Maharaj is performing devotional service unto Krishna, chanting the holy names of the Lord, even though there is a lot of opposition from his own father. And opposition is not just verbal or some scoldings. it is to the degree of trying to kill Prahlada several times in several ways. And Prahlad was a Rakshasa by birth, but he did not have the nature of a Rakshasa. But he is surrounded by Rakshasas. Okay, so Prahlad was surrounded by only demons who were chanting Hiranyakashipu's name, not Hari's name. And Prahlad himself is born in a demoniac dynasty. So his birth, his association that he kept, that he was in, they both are not favorable. But birth was not an obstacle. And association was also not an obstacle. He was so absorbed in Krishna. Sometimes we may also be obstructed in our attempts to serve Krishna with the surroundings, with the social circles, with a lot of pressures and many other material obstacles. But if we are determined, Krishna will give us the necessary facility and strength and determination and support to perform devotional service. Although Srimati Sita Devi is in Ravana's kingdom, surrounded by Rakshasis, every single day, Ravana is coming to Sita Devi, and that is his morning program. He comes and pressurizes her, please submit to me. I will make you my best queen. I will make all my other queens your dasis, right? Why are you wasting your youth? Why are you sitting on the floor? So like that, he kind of a lusty person, a chaste woman, cannot even stand in front of another man in the Vedic culture, like Sita Devi and all. But Sita Devi was made to sit in that Ashokavana, where this Ravana is coming regularly every single day with so much lust in his mind, in his heart. And then she's there in that kind of circumstances. And Ravana leaves, giving an instruction to all the other Rakshasis guarding Sita Devi, says that you just convince her. And these Rakshasis would surround Sita Devi, they would try to convince by speaking the glories of Ravana. So Ravana is this, Ravana is that, he has lifted Kailasa hill, he lifted that, like that. So many glories of Ravana. She was hearing Ravana Katha, not Rama Katha, by these Rakshasis. And when the Rakshasis get frustrated because Sita is not submitting, what do? They say that, I will kill you. I will eat your hand, I will eat your leg, I will eat your cheeks. Like that, they threaten Sita Devi. She breaks into tears. And she's surrounded by so many Rakshasis who are breaking all four regulative principles, who are just pushing her to submit to Ravana, but she's always Ram conscious. So sometimes the circumstances may not be favorable for us in this material world. Not sometimes, oftentimes, most of the times, the circumstances in the material world are not favorable for a devotee to practice devotional service. There may be hundreds of obstacles. Not only circumstances, the body itself will give a lot of limitation. And actually, devotees are a minority in this world. And there is a lot of social pressure and a lot of criticism by other people. But devotee continues to perform bhakti with determination, taking inspiration from great souls like Prachetas and many other great souls out there. There is one beautiful shloka again in this context, elaborating on what we were trying to see in the last couple of minutes. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan nindantu priya bandhava gurujana grahanantu manchantu va durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostu va tadra prema dharanu raga madhuna mattaya manantu me. This shloka says, Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan means, let my chitta, let my mind not deviate from the meditation on lotus feet of Krishna even for one kshana, one moment. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan nindantu priya bandhava gurujana grahanantu chantuva. Nindantu means let them criticize. Guru Ban, Priya Bandhava, Priya means our own dear friends and bandhus, relatives, Gurujana, superiors, elders. Elders may also criticize. For example, Hiranyakashipu is criticizing and troubling, torturing, trying to kill Prahlad. But did he leave devotional service? No. So, Nindantu Priya Bandhava, Gurujana, Grahanantu Munchintava, let them accept, let them reject. I don't care. Durvadam Parighoshayantu Manuja. Durvadam means gossip. So sometimes when a devotee is practicing devotional service, dedicating his life to Krishna service, or chanting the holy names of Krishna, or dancing in the streets, or distributing books, or living in a devotional manner, not eating onion garlic or non-vegetarian foods, or what, so many divine habits come in the life of a devotee when he takes the process of bhakti. Other people start gossiping about him. Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja. Durvadam, they do gossip. Parighoshayantu, they announce that this person has gone crazy, saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja. Vamshe kalankostuva. Vamshe kalankostuva means some people even go to the extent of criticizing and gossiping on a devotee, that this person is bringing a bad name to our dynasty. What dynasty? To be born in a material body in this material world in certain family, getting affiliated to one so-called great dynasty. What is so great about that? Now, many great kings were born in Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. They also remain as names in the ninth canto of Bhagavata, right? Of course, some are great souls, they are pure devotees, they went back to Godhead. But it's not about affiliation to some vamsha. It's all about affiliation to the process of devotional service, right? So, vamshe kalankostuva means, now you see Prahlad's example only. Shanda and Amarka said, and Hiranyakashipu said, this Prahalada is bringing Kalanka to our Vamsha. Kalanka is bad name. Vamsha is dynasty. So this Prahalada is spoiling the name of our dynasty. He says that, Shandai Namarka, they say that this Prahalada has become a handle of axe. What is an axe? Vishnu is the axe. So with this axe and handle, so the great divine sandalwood forest of demonic dynasty is being cut off. So, there's an analogy also that the demons also give. So, they say he is spoiling the name of our dynasty. Vamshe kalankostuva. Tadru premadharanu raga madhuna mattaya manam tumi. Let there be criticism, let there be opposition, let there be gossip, let there be announcements about my craziness. So many things may happen, but tadru premadharanu raga madhuna. I am experiencing the madhu, the honey or the nectar of Krishna's prema and anuraga, Krishna's love and affection. So let me be intoxicated by this nectar of Krishna's love and affection. Let me not pay any heed to anything else. So in this way, we see that a devotee's determination in devotional service is intact. And if we keep our determination intact like this, despite hundreds of obstacles, if we continue to practice devotional service, we can come out of the influence of this material energy. We can come under the influence of Devi, Prakriti, Shri, Radharani, and perfect our lives. So this is the beautiful description given in various scriptures about the devotee's determination, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukundamala Stotra, and many other places. And in this purport, Prabhupada is highlighting how Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the one who is behind the functionings of the material energy and spiritual energy both. It's up to us where to get connected with. So, I think it's 7:05 now. So, I'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? I see some comments.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada. That was really enlightening session. And, like there was a small realization, like even the bad is empowered.
I am unable to hear.
Hare Krishna, now am I audible?
Dhanavad
Prabhuji.
So
you are telling even the bad is empowered by Krishna, right? Like if you see Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they are empowered by God because directly they were the gatekeepers, but they came here. So we see even the bad is empowered by God. So sometimes I get this feeling that like Krishna is like testing us whether like this person is intact with his devotional service or not. So how do we know that whether the other person or bad thing which might be influencing is like Krishna's thing doing it or like we it's our thing, like our karma?
Yeah, got it. So actually Krishna is the cause of all causes. Okay. He's the cause of all good qualities and bad qualities and everything. But he does it not with partiality, not randomly. He does it according to the person. So he created all these qualities. He created goodness, badness, what is that? Buddhir jnanam asammoha, and later sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha abhayam eva cha. So all these dualities also he created for the functioning of this material world. He only is the source of material energy and spiritual energy. But it's up to the minute independence of the living entity to come under the influence of any one of this. Right? It's our choice, not his mistake. So now the shopkeeper, say a mobile phone shopkeeper, so he may have 1,000 mobiles, maybe some 20 brands. Right? So he's giving all options. It's up to us, depending on how much currency we have in our pocket and what is our specific utility, we choose that kind of mobile that suits us. Similarly, the conditioned souls also have developed a certain mentality, certain swabhava, and because of their association with matter, Krishna doesn't interfere with our independence, right? So accordingly, we get influenced by good and bad. So now, when somebody is exhibiting bad quality, oh, he's doing it because of Krishna. We cannot blame. No. For example, you see, simply, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 15th shloka, very popular shloka. What is that? Sarvasya chaham hridisan nivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Okay, let's discuss only this one part. First half. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha means, Krishna is the source of smriti, remembrance, jnanam, knowledge, apohanam, forgetfulness. So Krishna is the source of remembrance. Okay, good, very good. Krishna is reminding me things. How can Krishna be the source of forgetfulness also? Something surprising, isn't it? If I forget something, if I keep my mobile here, or if I keep my book here, and then forget it and go somewhere else, is it Krishna's fault? Because Krishna has given me that apahanam. So is it Krishna's fault? So Krishna, when we forget something, it's not Krishna's fault. Krishna is just being, it's not Krishna's responsibility for our mistakes, our forgetfulness, our bad qualities. Krishna is not responsible for our mistakes. Krishna is responsive and reciprocal with our moods. So Krishna, we can't hold Krishna responsible. He's just responding, or he's just reciprocal with what we want. Okay, that's the simple answer. Does it make sense, bro? Hare Krishna, yes, whoever has yes. asked that question.
Yes, Prabhu, that was clear.
So it's, we have
Hare Krishna,
thoughts.
Prabhu.
Like we perceive what we are, right? So that's the essence.
Yeah, so Krishna just sanctions.
Yes.
Krishna doesn't show any partiality.
Yes, like if you are seeing any bad in others, that bad is also in us. So we perceive what we are. So like
bad in others, when we see bad in others, simple, it could be genuinely the misuse of their minute independence, or sometimes it could be our own perception also.
Yes.
Okay, we need to give a benefit of doubt in some cases, Some cases when somebody is genuinely better, when somebody is killing animals, okay, for no reason, or to satisfy the tongue or whatever, then we understand, okay, he has this mentality that is wrong, okay, because Krishna, he has that mentality, so Krishna will do the needful with him, okay. So we don't have to blame Krishna for it, but we need to understand that Krishna is just reciprocating or responding to the mood of the person. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My humble obeisances. Prabhu, I want you to distinguish between devotional service and bhakti.
Okay.
We all say that we surrender to Krishna. We all say that, and we keep hearing, we should surrender to Krishna. And we keep doing our daily routine also. Are we surrendering? Are we genuinely surrendering? Yeah.
In that
process, I being a housewife, I am just conducting my daily routine. But can I ask myself, when I ask myself, am I surrendering to Krishna? My answer is no.
So, my answer is, a devotee out of humility may consider oneself not sufficiently surrendered, and that is also a symptom of a devotee. Secondly, the kind of or the amount of service or devotional service rendered by devotees of different categories could be different. Now, as you say, housewife can perform devotional service in a certain manner. A man can perform devotional service in a certain manner. A grihastha can perform devotional service in a certain manner. And a brahmachari can perform devotional service in a different flavor. So, what is recommended as standard of devotional service for different categories is different. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasan Danto Guru Arhitam, 7th canto, 12th chapter, 1st shloka says that Brahmachari has to stay in the ashram of a guru for the benefit of guru. So, for them, Swadhyaya and other services given by guru become their priority. But for a householder, definitely taking care of family, taking care of children, taking care of many other responsibilities while performing devotional service, it just happens. Right. So now point is like a devotee, a genuine devotee considers oneself not sufficiently surrendered, which is a very good symptom of a devotee. But at the same time, we should also understand that different devotees can perform devotional service in different flavors and different levels. Right. So, but ultimately Krishna says, what is the mood? So, the attitude of a devotee is more important for Krishna than the magnitude of the service that he or she does. So, attitude is more important than the magnitude. Quality is more important than the quality. Character is more important than the accomplishment. Right? So, now whatever genuine service is performed by a devotee, is accepted by Krishna. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. So Krishna is expecting little patram, little pushpam phalam toyam. Very simple offerings. But he wants bhakti, devotion in it, love in it. So a person who is very wealthy, he may offer, ₹1 crore for some service of Krishna. A person who is very poor materially, he may offer a leaf or a flower or a fruit to Krishna. That is also service. A person who has a lot of time and energy may engage the time and energy in Krishna's service in a certain way. But a person who is little already packed with certain responsibilities, other responsibilities, which are genuine as a human being in this human society, not that created or concocted unnecessary responsibilities, but are genuine responsibilities. As a mother, the responsibility of a mother is to take care of children. The responsibility of a father is to take care of children and family and all that. So while doing all that, whatever time is there, genuinely one is giving to Krishna, Krishna is happy. Krishna is focusing more on the quality rather than quantity. He is focusing more on the attitude rather than magnitude of the service rendered. He is seeing more on the mood. He is bhavagrahi janardana, like that. So Gajendra was an animal. Hanumanji was a monkey. Jambavan was a bear. Squirrel was just pushing some little grains of sand or small pebbles to make that bridge across Lanka ocean. And Hanumanji is getting big, big boulders and mountain peaks. But Ram is satisfied with both of them. So it's the mood that matters. So capacity may be different in different devotees. Flavor of service, the nature of service may be different, but service attitude is more important than the nature of service itself. Does it make sense, Mataji?
Prabhu, yes, Prabhu. And when I say ke I want to or I do perform devotional service, is it inclined towards bhakti? Or are they two different things?
So the word bhakti, or any Sanskrit word for that matter, may not be exactly translated into English in one word. Prabhupada often says this.
Right.
And
yes.
Sometimes one word, one Sanskrit word could have one sentence as a meaning. To actually describe or capture the import or purport of that one Sanskrit word, you may have to use a sentence rather than a word. Bhakti, by default, the definition could be devotion. But Prabhupada did not stop at devotion. Devotional service, he said. So bhakti is not just an emotion. Bhakti is an action associated with an emotion. If you have devotion, you would like to render service. So bhakti is devotional service, which is the popular definition given by Prabhupada. But if you see the elaboration done by Prabhupada in various contexts, bhakti has, bhakti's meaning is loving devotional service. Okay, bhakti is unalloyed, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. Now there is no expectation in it. Devotional service, but no expectations. Haituki apratihata yatma suprasidati. So like that, basically, the bhakti word can be elaborated with so many adjectives and so many other explanations. But as far as our evaluation of our own bhakti is concerned, so there is no black and white formula for evaluation. There is no scorecard given. Okay, you will get this much, like this. You may tick mark on number of rounds that we chanted. But the quality of rounds, that's qualitative. You can't quantify a qualitative parameter. So that Krishna will assess. So we will do to the best of our capacity. We will try to perform devotional service with love and affection, with consistency, and without any interruptions, to the best of our abilities. Let's Krishna assess us.
Thank you, bro.
Does it make sense, ma'am?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much. It was a wonderful lecture, Prabhu. I wish it had just gone. You should have gone on and on and on. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Merci.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranams. I have one question, Prabhu. You explained how Krishna is aloof from Maya, and Maya cannot affect, like Krishna, but I was trying to understand how the Naham Prakasha Sarvasya works. Yoga Maya Samavrata. So it says that he is covered by Yoga Maya. I mean, how do we understand that?
Good reference in this context. Krishna, actually, in our discussion itself, it's kind of touched upon indirectly. So as I said, this cloud doesn't cover sun. Cloud covers our vision of the sun. And Krishna says, Naham prakashaha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. I am not obliged to reveal myself to a person who is very arrogant, who has a challenging attitude, who has demonic tendencies. He says, where is God? Show me. Just because he says he is challenging me, he is demanding that I show myself to prove my existence, I am not obliged to prove my existence. Right? Whether he accepts me or not, I exist. And there are hundreds and thousands and millions and crores and unlimited people who acknowledge my existence. Okay, so in that sense, Krishna says, Naham prakashah sarvasya yoga maya samavrataha. I am covered by my maya, by my energy. That blocks my vision or blocks my darshan to the person who has a challenging spirit. Okay, not only this, there are so many other shlokas. Kunti Maharani says, Maya javanika channam agna dhokshajamagyayam na lakshyase modhadrisha nato natya dharoyatha. Maya javanikachanam, the Lord is covered by the curtain of Maya. But the curtain of Maya is not covering the Lord. It is covering us. Okay. Now you see, Krishna says, Naham, Yoga Maya Samavrataha, Maya Javanikachanam, all these slokas are there. So curtain is there. So just because curtain is there, that does it mean that Krishna cannot see us? Even if curtain is there, Krishna can see us. But we can't see Krishna. So curtain means that blocks the vision of some object behind the curtain. Okay. But if the person who is on the other side of the curtain can see the person on this side of the curtain, no, the curtain is blocking whom? The person who is unable to see or the person who is able to see. So Krishna's maya is covering Krishna, but still Krishna is able to see us. But we are unable to see Krishna. What does that mean? The maya curtain is covering our vision, not Krishna's vision. You put maya curtain, you put 100 other curtains, Krishna can see us. Okay. Darshan is closed, curtain is closed, altar is closed. Still, if a devotee sincerely prays in front of the altar, right? Oh, altar is closed, I miss this darshan. Because sometimes devotees may come running from their offices. Somehow they barely reach the temple to take darshan with the great eagerness. Sometimes they may even miss darshan. Oh, altar is closed, it's already 7:30 p.m. My God, I'm going to darshan. So he offers a prayer, offers some obeisances, and then he leaves. So the devotee could not see Krishna, the deities, but the deities have seen this sincere desire of this devotee to see Krishna. So curtain doesn't block Krishna's vision. Curtain blocks our vision. Nato natya dharo yatha. Okay, let me not elaborate. That does it make sense, Mataji? This answer is okay?
Yes, Prabhu. So you're saying that when yoga maya samavrata, it's actually covering the covering from where we cannot see, but the Lord can see.
Yes, Krishna can see us. Nothing can block his vision.
I was also reminded of Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam also when you quoted Kunti Maharani. Thank you.
Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam Antar Bahiravasthitam. Correct. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Question in the chat box. Oh. Hare Krishna, yes?
Oh, please. I thought you were reading the chat box. Okay, yeah. My question refers to when you were speaking about these two energies of the Lord, material and spiritual, and their two functions. So I think my understanding is that the energy of Krishna is one, but that one energy, I'm referring to Maya here, or Yoga Maya. The energy of Krishna is one, but it functions in two different ways. As you were saying, it functions one way for the materialist and another way for the devotees. So what I am trying to reconcile here is how to put this? What I'm trying to reconcile is that on the one hand, we say there's one energy that functions in two different ways, But at the same time, I've also read that Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. This would actually make it just one energy. So do you care to like expand on that, elaborate, correct what I've said?
Yes, Mataji. Ultimately, energy is one, and that energy can function in different ways. Yes.
You said the material energy is one? I didn't hear well.
Easier understanding, the Shaktis or the energies of the Lord are described sometimes as twofold, sometimes as threefold, sometimes as manyfold. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti. Material energy and spiritual energy, two categories.
Yeah, I'm specifically referring to Yogamaya and Mahamaya. You know, my understanding is that it's actually just one energy, but when that one energy is dealing with devotees, it acts as Yogamaya. And when that one energy is dealing with materialists, it acts as Mahamaya. But it's actually one energy.
Yes. Then that kind of explanation is appropriate.
Like Prabhuji,
is right.
There are two or three energies, Prabhuji. Like internal energy, external, and marginal energy, right?
Yeah.
We come under marginal thing.
Yeah, but that's
but
different.
But if we endeavor towards bhakti, we come under the influence of internals, Prabhuji.
So the Tatastha Shakti is Tata. Tata means what? The shore of the ocean. Okay, this analogy is given. So there is shore of the ocean, and there is ocean here, and there is land here. So this land is not underwater. So here is water. But this little bit of land, which is on the shore, can sometimes come underwater, sometimes not. Right? It can be counted as a part of the land, and it can be counted as a part of water also. Right? Underwater also. So that's why it is Tatastha. Tatastha is in the middle. Okay. But another category is there is material energy, and these jivas also belong to the spiritual energy of the Lord. Okay. So in that spiritual energy, we have this internal potency of the Lord, the eternal associate of the Lord. There are Tatastha people who can have some susceptibility to come under the influence of material energy, like that.
Does material energy have consciousness? Like if you see trees are also jivas, right? So under which energy they
do? Tree body, there is a jiva also. Yes. Material
so they come under
energy or matter.
Yes.
Matter does not have consciousness as such. But because of the presence of spirit inside the matter, matter transforms. Like that. So now a dead body does not have consciousness.
So we have a spiritual spark in our heart. So that energy is pervading in the entire body. The spiritual spark inside our heart. So it is affecting the entire matter and coordinating everything. Our body, right?
No, I'm not able to hear you clearly. Can you say that again?
Like the spiritual spark is in our heart, so that energy is manifested, like it's pervading in the entire body, right?
Correct. So, yeah, in the heart there is soul.
So we also come under material
symptom of soul
thing, which are made up of five panchabhuta, right? That is material.
Yeah, the body is made of material. Correct.
Okay. So we are in a border of both internal and external.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Prabhuji. My apologies, but I was thinking if Mataji can just complete her question and then we can pitch in our comments. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Gaurangi Mataji, did you have any more?
Yeah, I appreciate that so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just needed to get some further clarification about the roles of Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So, because in your talk, I believe you referred to them as having two functions as well as being two energies. And, you know, like I said before, I've understood them to actually be just one energy, one spiritual energy that behaves in two different ways, like electricity, right? It can make, you know, one appliance hot, and it can make another one cold. But it's just the one electricity. It's not two different electricities. So is this the... This is why I was saying, or suggesting that is Yogamaya and Mahamaya are actually...
There is one energy that can function as two. That is right. But that energy, when it's functioning as two, if we call these two functions as two energies also, there's nothing wrong in it, in that sense. For example, when Krishna, the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the 10th chapter, that describes various divisions of creation. In that we see that there are six aspects of Sarga, six kinds of primary creation. The creation of Mahatattva, the creation of Ahankara, the creation of senses, sense devatas, etc., etc. Now, ultimately, false ego is the source of all these other products.
Yeah.
Now, false ego is considered, it's the source of all other products. But false ego is one creation. And one of its products is another creation. And one of the other products is another creation. Now it's counted as the source also. It's counted along with the other things also. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, first chapter itself, we have Vande Gurun Isha Bhakta Nisham Vishavatarakan Tat Prakasham Satat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam Prakasha. So Prakasha is an expansion or a manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Right? That's one of the features of the Lord. So while explaining Prakasha Tattva, Kavaraj Goswami says, this Prakasha is of two categories. One is Prakasha, one is Vilasa. Now, the name of the main category is Prakasha, and one of the subcategories is also called Prakasha. Right? So these two are Prakashas only, Prakasha Vigrahas only, but they can be two categories. You can count them as two also. Different contexts. Sometimes they are called two, sometimes there is one energy functioning as two. Okay, two roles, two job descriptions. But it can be two also.
Yeah. And also, I just thank you for that clarification. And also, Prabhu, one thing I'm confused about when it comes to Mahamaya and Yogamaya is, you know, as we said, you know, Yogamaya deals with pure devotees, or I don't know. This is my question. Does for Yogamaya to be the one who deals with the devil, who deals with the devotee, I'm wondering how pure the devotee has to be. For example, is it Yogamaya that deals with the sadhaka who is aspiring to be Krishna's pure devotee, or does Yogamaya deal strictly with, you know, those who are liberated, you know, like Mother Yashoda and the Brajbasis, those in Vaikuntha, you know, in the spiritual world? So that's my question. Does Yogamaya deal with those of us who are still conditioned but who are sincerely aspiring to become pure devotees? Or is that you know, as long as there's some conditioning, is it only the work of Mahamaya? You know, how does it work?
So now there could be some very finer nuances in terms of the functionality of the Lord's energies in various ways in the context of different devotees. Now, for example, Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahmaji, when he has stolen the calves and voice of Krishna, then the acharyas explain that it is an influence of Yoga Maya. And through Brahma's bewilderment, all of us got some lessons also. So now, devotees, when they perform devotional service, either as sadhakas or already perfected, exalted, pure devotees, they are under the protection of the supreme divine energy of Krishna called Yoga Maya. Okay. Now, to what degree Yoga Maya, supports or involves with the affairs of a pure devotee, eternal associates of Krishna, and then sadhaka devotees who are practicing devotional service, it could vary. But ultimately, whoever comes under the shelter of the process of devotional service is under the influence of Krishna's internal potency. To what degree, it all depends on how much are they still disconnected from Mahamaya, how much are they still affected or influenced by Mahamaya. All these matters, I can't exactly say she works only in the case of pure devotees and not different in the case of sadhaka bhaktas. There could be some exact terminologies that some acharya or some tikakar must have exactly pointed out. But in general, a generic statement could be, we are all under the shelter of that internal energy of the Lord when we are trying to serve Krishna. And we are affected by material energy of the Lord when we are not serving Krishna. So it's like generic statement, but there could be much more to it, which I don't know. Mm-hmm. We can ask some scholarly.
So I guess generally it's probably safe to say that to the extent that you are acting under the Moses, the extent to which you're being influenced by Mahamaya, and to the extent that you are trying to perform devotional service is the extent to which you're under the influence of Yoga Maya. But it's either way, it's in proportion to the level of purity with which you perform a service, it seems.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answers, Rudy. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I was thinking if the second Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Rite Artham Yat Pratiyeta, could answer Mataji's query. Can you explain if you want? You can explain that.
So, in short, the meaning of that shloka is that whatever we consider to be not connected with Krishna is Maya. But everything, anything, or everybody is connected with Krishna. But when we perceive that, okay, this has nothing to do with God, that is wrong. And that wrong understanding is Maya. Okay. So that which is not, as Prabhupada says, right? So Ritiartham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani yat vidyat atmano maya yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. So this is a simple meaning of the shloka. Okay, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Whoever has asked the question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you very much for the very, very beautiful class today. And yeah, you covered so many strong points that how we should be very stable in association which is not very favorable. So that is too many examples of Sita Maharani and Prahlad Maharaj. So these are all very inspiring and encouraging. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So, and
we'll conclude here.
Yes. Yeah, we will conclude here. There are no questions. We'll pay obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, dandvat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.